12, in reading verse number 1, Apostle Paul said, "It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to go over. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one called up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth how he was caught up in paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. This thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake." And the phrase again here, an iteration of it, we're emphasizing, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Look across the page in chapter number 13 and verse number 4. Apostle Paul said, "For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. We also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Fill us, Lord, with unction, wisdom beyond our own, and Lord, send help to the people of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. I think as we lay this message out, we understand that through the Word of God and throughout the Bible, the child of God is both commanded and encouraged to be strong. And we said that on last week. We used several references in the New Testament where the Word of God commends us and propels us to stand in our Christianity with a measure of strength, of being strong, being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, the Apostle Paul would say. Peter would speak about the fact that there are cares we have, there are encounters we have with Satan and with the enemy, and we are to resist him, and in doing so, casting our care upon the Lord. And he began to pray for those believers, and he was confident that of the things that Christ could do for the child of God, one of those was to strengthen us in our relationship and in our journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 2 and in verse number 1, the Apostle Paul, in writing to young Timothy, said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And so we can use other texts and other scriptures, but there is a command and a theme found throughout all the scripture that we as Christians are to be strong. We find this even in the Old Testament, and we've done studies on this in series that we have preached before, but in the Old Testament, there are many challenges given to the children of God through a phrase, "Be strong and of good courage." And so, from every dispensation of time, the children of God are called on and commanded, "Be strong, be strong, be strong in the faith, be strong in grace, be strong in the word, be strong in the warfare, the battles in which we are fighting." That we are to be strong is true, but and the fact that it is commanded is true, but What we find as we study the Word of God is that the Bible also acknowledges our weakness. And though we're commanded to be strong, we have within us, and we have many times upon us, a sense of weakness, and that seems to be contradictory to what God has commanded us to be as children of God. And Paul is dealing with this in the text that we read tonight. In fact, when we think about the Apostle Paul, we think of a great Christian, we think of a great preacher, we think of a great author and writer, and one that was mightily used of God, and yet he said to himself in chapter number 11 of 2 Corinthians, verse 29, "Who is weak and I am not weak?" Being a rhetorical question. And what Paul is saying is that there is a weakness about me. And when I think of Paul, I think of a strong Christian. When I think of Paul, I think of a strong, bold preacher, a man, one that is strong in the gospel, one that in my mind, I would not view Paul with any weakness. Yet Paul said that there is a weak side to me. And so if Paul is weak, and Paul testifies, amen, of his own weakness, and certainly tonight you and I, amen, can identify with Paul in that level. And so we talked about on last week this matter of weakness, the matter of weakness in our life. We're dealing with the thought of weakness and strength. Weakness and strength. And so thinking about weakness, amen, where does or what are the causes concerning our weakness? Quickly, we give you four of them. Well, last week, we said number one, that our weakness stems from our fallen nature. And really, this is the foundation of why there's any weakness in us at all. Amen. The fact that, my friend, we have a fallen nature, we have an old man, that my friend is weak when it comes to the things of the Lord. Amen. Romans 8:3 is the verse we used on last week, but I was meditating on some of these thoughts, and the verse came to me this week, and since last Wednesday night, when the Lord took the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, let them there pray, and came back and found them sleeping. You remember what he said to them? He said, "What, could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" And then the Lord said this. The Lord said, "The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak."
Yeah.
And so there is an identification in you and I that calls for our weakness in many times, and it is connected to our fallen nature, because we are sons of Adam, we are weak.
Right.
And we like to pride ourselves on being strong. And some have misconstrued some things from the Word of God concerning even the genders. And they'll say, "Well, now the woman is the weak vessel." That's not what the Word of God said. And then the Word of God said she's the weaker vessel, meaning the man is weak as well. And then we're all weak. Men are weak and women are weak. And that is identified and tapped into our fallen nature. And in our text tonight, I find another cause for our weakness. That is, simply put, sometimes our weakness is caused by our Father's plan. Here's what Paul said in verse number 7. He said, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh." And it is no doubt dealing with the sovereignty of his God and his wife, and that God has permitted something to bring weakness out of Paul. And this is a part of the Father's plan in Paul's life. And many times we feel weak, and that weakness is attached, amen, to the plan and the will of our Father. So, well, I'm going to get ahead of myself. There's reasons for it. There's reasons that our Heavenly Father lets us feel our weakness and puts us in places and gives us things and sometimes takes things from us so that, amen, we are reduced to weakness. Amen. I look in the text, I see the third cause concerning our weakness involves our foes and tax. He said, "There was given me a thorn in the flesh." And he said, in all of this was involved two bucket men. So, amen, there's a part of the weakness that Paul is emphasizing even in his text and is facing, that he is feeling, that he has been forced into, that, and he identifies there is an enemy that is in work. Amen. There is an adversary that is buffeting me, that I don't know how to handle him. I don't know how to combat him. I don't know how to take the blows. And with every buffet, with every strike, with every fiery dart, with every loud and attack that is brought against me, I am brought again into a state of weakness. And in chapter number 11 and chapter number 12, particularly verse 10, amen, see the fourth connection to our weakness is just simply our frustrating circumstances. And when you go back into chapter 11, Paul talks about shipwreck. He talks about persecution. He talks about betrayal. He talks about weariness and painfulness. He talks about being hungry and being thirsty. He talks about being reduced to a man cold and nakedness, and describing all sorts of things that he has encountered along his Christian journey. And even in verse number 10 of chapter 12, he speaks of infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and in distresses. And all of these are frustrating circumstances that involve our life, that when we face these sometimes, we can't see any way out. Sometimes we can't help ourselves. And sometimes it doesn't seem like anybody can help us. And we're left there holding our own weakness. And my, what a place that is to be. Amen. And some of you young folk, if you don't understand all this yet, amen, I remember when I was young with Tim, I thought I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof, could ride bulls and donkeys and, amen, jump buildings and run through brick walls. Amen, you pride yourself in your early days. Amen, you're strong, that you got a strength about you. And I don't mean to embarrass him, but Sam and Lucas went to gym. And he texted me, he said, "Daddy, I bench pressed 185 pounds. And if you know anything about lifting and working out, that's pretty good." Amen, that's pretty good. And he's talking about, "I'm going to do this, I'm going to live this, and I'm going to catch up to you one of these days, Dad." And the thing of the matter is, he probably will. When I'm 72 years old, amen, he can't live nothing. He probably will catch me. Amen, when you're young, you feel strong. Amen, can I say the longer that, amen, we live in life, we realize we're not, amen, as strong as we think we are. And the day will come, you look back with the end and say, "I'm not as strong as I used to be." Amen. And sooner or later, somewhere in life, amen, we're going to feel how weak we really are. Amen. That's true physically, that after it is true oftentimes mentally and emotionally, yeah. And surely and truly even spiritually, amen, there is a sense of weakness that, amen, we must feel and that we must find and that we must face, so that, amen, we can by the power of Christ become strong. Amen. Is it right? And I know we're independent fundamental bankers, and I can't bog down in all this again, but sometimes we use terms like, "Amen, so-and-so is not as strong as I am." Amen. The fact of the matter is sometimes that, amen, that is a complete wrong way of looking at it, that, amen, when we're insulting a brother or another church, and on the other hand, in a lot of ways we just reek with pride. Amen. Trying to convince ourselves that, amen, we're not weak, or that we're not as weak as, amen, maybe we know we ought to be. And so there is weakness here. There are times when we feel this weakness. You say, "But preacher, the Bible said to be strong." The Bible commands us and implores us to, a spiritual strength. Well, amen, our weakness at times seems to be so great that we will never know what it is to be strong. Is that right? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever looked at where you were, what your state's at? Amen. Have you ever considered your fallen nature and looked at the man in the mirror and considered what the Father had given you and the foe that was attacking you and the circumstances all around you? And you look at that and you go, I know God said to be strong, but I'm not strong, and I'm weak right now. Amen. And there's something we've got to deal with. And so sometimes, amen, it seems like we'll never know what it is to be strong. Amen. But what we learned on last week is that those of the way of faith, according to Hebrews 11, verse number 34, amen, the ones who build arks and the ones who walk with God now, and the ones in that friend, amen, trusting God to do the impossible, and the ones that, amen, led nations out of Egypt, and the ones that broke down the walls of Jericho, and the ones that shut the mouths of lions, and the ones that raised the dead. And amen, friend, the great scenes and things that take place, and we're reminded of in Hebrews 11, verse 34, Apostle Paul said that out of weakness were made strong. And we look into Hebrews 11 and we say, man, what great Christians these were. Of what strong children of God these were. Paul said, you got it wrong. Amen. These are just weak men and weak women. Amen. Out of their weakness, God put His strength on them. And they found strength, we said last week. Amen. What a strange place to find strength. And they found strength out of weakness. Out of weakness, God made them strong. Amen. And so this is the message in Paul concerning the experiences he writes about in the close of his letter here to the Corinthians. He wants us to understand weakness and strength. Amen. These, my friend, are companions in our Christian life.
Right.
Amen. You can't truly know what it is to be strong until you know what it is to be weak.
Right.
Yes, sir.
What a strange place to find strength. Weakness. Paul, you said, where do you see that? Well, he says, the Lord came down and gave me a personal word, and here's what the Lord told me. My strength is made perfect in weakness. This evidently settles into Paul's heart. In verse number 10, he recalls again the things in his faith and the things that he's going through for Christ's sake. And he said, here's what I've learned. I've learned, for when I am weak, then am I strong.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid we're trying to be strong without facing our weakness, without feeling our weakness. Amen. We're trying to muster up the strength that Paul is not saying, I muster up strength. Amen. He's not talking about an emotional state. Amen. He's talking about what is provided only through Christ. Amen. And it's your lowest time, it's your weakest time, and your most hurting time, there is available to the child of God a strength that can only be produced through weakness. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm giving us, I believe, is important. Weakness, when we preach it on, weakness and strength. Amen. Now, we only made it this far on last week. If I don't worry, we ain't going to make it, amen, no further than we did last week. Amen. I'm going to give you, we looked at weakness and where our weakness comes from. And it's brought us to this thing, this truth, this principle that out of weakness we remain strong.
Yes.
That Christ wants us to know His strength in our life is made perfect in weakness. And so we're considering tonight strengthened. Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I made strong. Amen. How does this work? How does weakness and strength, amen, work together? Well, we looked at and are looking at, number one, the grace that supplies our strength. Amen. Again, this is not something that is worked up. Amen. This is not something that, amen, you just simply grow in knowledge and then, amen, you wake up one day and then you're just a strong Christian. Amen. The fact of the matter is, if we ever find strength and weakness, amen, friend, it will be the result of grace in our life. Amen. It doesn't matter how many verses you can quote. It doesn't matter what standards you live by. Amen. And it doesn't matter how much you pray necessarily. Amen. It doesn't matter the religious exercises that, amen, you discipline your life in. At the end of the day, as important as all of those things are, if we find any strength, Brother Randy, it will be by the grace of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Is that important? It absolutely is. And maybe we'll get that far tonight to be able to show it. Verse number 8. Amen. In this matter, the grace that supplies our strength, we know in the prayer of Paul. Amen. Then, my friend, he found this grace supplied. Amen. Through prayer. Paul prayed for his weakness to be taken away. He said, Lord, would you take this away? Lord, would you remove this thorn out of my life? Amen. What did he pray? He said, listen to his own word, for this thing that is the thorn. Amen. The thorn that is producing the pain in his life. Amen. This hurt, this seeming hindrance in his life. Amen. That makes him feel his weakness. He said, for this thing, I besought him. What did he find? He found grace. Amen. He found grace. Grace that supplied his strength. Amen. Was supplied. He's praying for one thing, but amen. He found grace to supply his strength. Amen. That made Paul stronger than if God had taken it away. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, grace can do this. Amen. Grace can do this. Amen. And we all do it. Paul did it, and we do it. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong. We say, Lord, would you take this out of my life? Amen. Lord, take this out of my life. Amen. What is interesting to me that in the previous verse, Uncle Jerry, he noted this was given me. God gave this to me, and now Paul is saying, Lord, what you gave to me, please take it back. And the Lord said, no, I gave it to you. You're going to carry it, and you're going to feel it, but don't think because I'm not going to take it away, amen, that you're not going to be able to find strength because all my grace is sufficient for thee. Where did he find it? He found it in prayer. And so, child of God, keep praying. There's grace since it finds your strength. I will get the person in verse number 8. He said, my grace, that is the grace of the Lord Jesus. Paul knew who strengthened him by grace. Amen. That's why he would say, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. Paul knew where his grace came from. Amen. He heard from the Lord himself, my grace. And then we looked at the plenty in verse number 9. Here's what the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. Amen. My grace is sufficient. In other words, Paul, amen, you want to take it out, but I'm going to give you something greater. Amen. And it's going to be sufficient. It's going to be a sufficient supply of that grace that is going to strengthen you in your weakness. Amen. May I say, if we ever find strength in our weakness, amen, it'll be because of God's sufficient grace. Amen. Grace and His plentiful grace. Amen. That'll be raised up. Grace that will avail. And grace that'll be satisfactory in their life. Amen. The prayer, the person, the plenty. Notice we met. Amen. We didn't get to preach this from last week, but in verse number 9. Amen. Let me say a word about the personalizing. Amen. Let me is what the Lord Jesus said to Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. I'm going to tell you, Paul got a personal word. Amen. This wasn't a word. This wasn't a word from Christ for Timothy. This wasn't a word from Christ for Peter. This wasn't a word from Christ for the Apostle John of Galatia. And oh no, friend, he got a personal word from the Savior. And the Lord said, Paul, I've been helping my children all through time. Amen. Every time they needed strength and courage, I was there. Amen. I'd give them the charge, but I would give them the grace. I'd tell them what they ought to be, and when they couldn't be, my grace would kick in there. It helped Hezekiah in the Old Testament. It helped David and Solomon and Moses and Joshua and all the children of Israel going into the land of Canaan. And then it helped Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Oh, but Paul, I know where you're at. I know what you feel. I know what you're facing. I know the bangs and the foes and the attacks and the internet. I know that you feel weak. But Paul, what I'm telling you is, my grace is sufficient for thee. And child of God, I'm telling you tonight, amen, this thing can't be personal. Amen, the Lord Jesus Christ, gracious enough. Amen, it ain't just for the preacher. It just ain't for those that have been saved or in a long time. Amen, His grace is sufficient for thee. Amen, and I'm telling you tonight, amen, the one who is hurting and the one who is weak and sinning the answer. Amen, that's where Paul was. The grace and strength, amen, must become personal. Amen, there is an abundant supply. Amen, can I remind you what the songwriter said? Amen, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. Amen, look around and listen to children of God testify. And God's grace has been for them. And God's grace has strengthened them and helped them this year. And that friend, He will and can do the same for you. The personal action, the personal action. I'm glad tonight that we have a personal Savior. A personal Savior who is personally invested in my life and personally invested in your life. Amen. And when I am at my weakest limb, when I look around and it seems like everybody around me is enjoying the strength of the Lord and the victory in their soul, amen, sometimes you be blown to a place and you think, amen, well, I just must not be much of a Christian. Amen, the fact of the matter is, ain't too many of us much of a Christian today. Amen, but in those weak times, there is a grace from the Savior, and it said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. Have you ever had the grace of God supplied to you personally? Amen. We've seen the personalizing, notice with me. Amen. The perfecting in verse number 9. I love what the Lord, what Paul recalls, and the Lord told me. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My house ain't going to be displayed. Here's what he said, Brother Larry. He said, Jesus told me, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Made perfect. Note those words tonight. Amen. The strength, he said, it's my strength. Amen. And so it's not my strength. If I find strength in weakness, if I have the same from when I am weak, then am I strong. That is not saying that that is my strength. Jesus said, amen, to Paul, and says to us tonight, it is my strength that is made perfect in your weakness. There is a transaction that has to take place. There is a perfecting work that must go on. And in fact, this phrase made perfect means to complete, to accomplish, or to consummate. Simply means to mature. I like that. Amen. Paul is saying what the Lord It means to reach the intended goal. Christ is saying, Paul, you feel weak and you feel aching, your weakness, you're down. But you can't see the intended goal. You can't see what the Father is doing in your life. You can't see what, amen, what this reducing of your strength and in making you feel your weakness, you don't see. And it's actually going to work out for your good. You don't see the finished product. You don't see. And when all is said and done, you're going to stand. Not in your own strength. Not in the strength of a preacher. Not in strength and doctrines and dogmas and creeds. But you're going to come out on the other side. Amen. More like Christ with His strength. Amen. Than the ultimate goal that God wants for you and I.
Amen.
If you don't stand in God's strength, y'all listen now. I'm talking about this is the work of grace in our Christian life. If you're going to stand in the strength of Christ, amen, that means Christ has got to knock all your strength out of you.
Right.
Yes, sir.
So you lean on people and the Lord comes by and begins to work in your life.
Yes.
You begin to lean on your heritage. You lean on, amen, all these things you've done and you've learned along the way. And Christ comes by because you faith. Amen. That's where your strength comes from. And Christ and the Father begin to work. And circumstances come in. You realize, amen, like Paul said, after all the list of things, and when it promoted him being a strong person in Philippians and chapter number 3, he said, all these things I have learned to count but loss and count but done. These things have not helped me one whit. What is going on in Paul's life? It was Christ saying, Paul, now strength must be made perfect in your weakness.
Amen.
So when you feel weak, understand, and that friend of grace of the Lord is working in your life. Amen. When you feel that you're struggling all and all and all. Amen. And you're simply mad from Christ. Amen. You can blame it on other people. You can blame it on yourself. You can blame it on the preacher. Blame it on the church. But I'm telling you, the weakest signs of our life. Amen. The grace of God is there and is working and is bringing us and causing us, amen, returning to an end that we can't even see in our weakness. What is that? It's called grace. Grace.
Yes.
Not the cheap grace that is preached and promoted in our day. Amen. But the grace that, amen, works when you're in the lowest of lows and you're in the downest of downs and you're in the weakest and weak times. And God working in our life, man's grace. Amen. Takes the worst of situations and produces the best in our life.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Feel like I'm preaching something to help somebody.
Amen.
Perfecting. What is all this, preacher? It is the grace that supplies our strength.
Yes.
Will y'all bear with me a little while longer? Will you let me try to finish this? Amen. I know it's Wednesday. I'm tired too. I've been on the working end of a hammer drill. Amen. All afternoon. I'm woke too. Amen. Number two, notice with me the glory that sustains our strength. When grace supplies and does this work, and we find in Christ a personal and plenty grace that begins to, amen, allow the strength of Christ to be worked in our life, how do we sustain that? How is that sustained beyond our Christian life? Well, I believe that in verses 9 and 10, this text shows it that Paul, in his Christian life, learned to have no self-glory.
Amen.
All his glory was for Christ's sake.
Yes.
If you're not careful when you are weak, Christ will give grace. grace to make you strong.
Yes.
Begin to look around and you'll forget who made you strong in the first place. Say, what happens then? Then you go back to ground zero and you're weak all over again.
Yes,
amen. You've got to keep your attention on Christ. You've got to let Christ have the glory.
Yes.
Christ has got to have the preeminence. Have his strength sustained. And man, I believe it is involved in our glory. It's involved in our glory. And man, for Paul would testify. And man, in chapter number 12, and you got to look at chapter 11, we don't have the time. I've been doing much testing, but when he comes into chapter number 12, and he says, hey, I've had some experiences that I don't even talk about. I can't even give too many details about it. And Paul spake about why. Amen. He said, I don't want it to come across like I'm glorying in myself because I have some big spiritual experience.
Right.
He said, these things God showed me that it wouldn't be lawful for me to repeat and to tell them. In our day, you let somebody have some experience, first thing they want to do is run around the church, tell everybody how spiritual they are.
Yes.
What they.
Yes.
Come on, man.
Yes, sir.
Paul said, I'm going to give you the key to sustain strength in your life. You let, don't have self glory, make the Savior's glory
become
anything.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Paul said, if I was to run around glorying in this, that is my spiritual experience, what the Lord showed me, what the Lord gave to me, what the Lord let me feel and experience and know. He said, I'm afraid that, notice in verse number 6, he said, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. You know what I think of Tim Paul is concerned with right there? He said, I'm in a good place tonight. I may struggle tomorrow, but amen, man, sometimes we get in a moment of self-promotion. And we want everybody to know what we know.
Yes.
We want everybody to hear what God gave us.
Yes.
See, if we've got some sort of, and Paul said the danger in sharing everything God shares with you is if you ain't careful, others will begin to think more of you than you really are.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
I ain't going to finish this. Lord knows I got to get this out. There is a matter of praying. Self-glory. Paul said, for this cause, he said, in verse 5, if such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. He said, I'm not trying to impress y'all and try because here's what's going on in the church of Corinth. There is a crowd there that Paul said, they're running around talking about how weak I am. They're talking about all my frailties. They're talking about all of my insufficiencies. And that I ain't like Peter and I ain't like John. And I'm not as great as the other apostles. And what he's saying is, and he actually spells it out. He said, I know what they're saying about my weakness.
Right.
Paul even said, I can straighten all that out. It wouldn't take me long to do it. He said, but I ain't going to do it because that would come across like I was about self-glory.
Right.
So Paul said, let them think what they want to think.
Yeah.
We're killing ourselves with self-glory.
Right.
Yeah.
Wonder why we're so weak and lacking victory in it. And how Grim found in the dumps, and why we're up and down and in and out and confused, it's a turnaround and you go. And that because we live too much for ourselves.
Yes.
Guilty,
yes.
Guilty, guilty. And they say, oh, no, not me, the fact that, and then we would even brag on
us, and I'm not as weak as you think I am. When the fact of the matter is, we're weaker than they say we are.
Yeah. Right.
Oh no, I'm stronger than so and so. But when was that ever the same? I ain't gonna get done, Brother Mo. Brother Mo's grinning. That's good. Amen. 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 You know, son, they're not as strong as I am in this area. You know what that is? That's self-glory.
Yes, sir.
Self-glory.
Yes.
Paul said, I'm not about self-glory. Self-glory. Amen. Doesn't sustain the strength that I have to live the Christian life. It's got to be about the Savior. It's got to be about Jesus. And so Paul, what does Paul say? He said, I'm not going to glory. I myself am not going to glory, but in my infirmities. It is my weakness. It is my weakness. And that's where I find my glory. What in the world is Paul saying? Why are you going to glory in your weakness? Because Paul knows, amen, in that strange place is where his strength is found.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's when he's going through infirmities. It's when he's in reproaches. It's when he finds himself in necessity and persecution and in distresses. And here's what Paul said. He said, I will take my pleasure in these things for Christ's sake. These things are not about us. Every betrayal you've ever had in your life has not been about you.
Right.
Every hardship we face is not, if you're a saved child of God, it is not about you.
Right.
It's about Christ's sake.
Right.
It's about Christ letting you feel what he felt, face what he faced. Amen. Know your weakness and feel those hurts and those pains. Amen. And it is all for Christ's sake, and his strength can be poured out into our lives.
Yes.
Amen.
I know. Listen, I struggle with it. Amen. I struggle with it. You struggle with it. Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities. That doesn't mean what we see done in our day, running around talking about all your hurts and problems and everything you've been through for the last 20 years. Amen. Some people, amen, took what Paul said out of context. They're still talking 20 years later about something that happened way back yonder. And all their identities wrapped up in some persecution, some pain, some hurt, some event in their life. Amen. Listen, that those things are not about us. They're about Christ's sake in our life. Savior's glory. Am I making a wicked sense?
Amen.
I'm not trying to knock the wind out of us. I'm trying to help us tonight. Self-glory robs us. The strength that Christ gives to you and I.
Amen.
Then we wind up set back again. Here we are, weak again.
Yes,
the glory that sustains our strength. The glory that sustains it. Amen. Well, let me just give you this. I may not preach it. You may have to come back. Notice the pleasure of Christ's glory. The pleasure of Christ's glory. Let me just give a word here and I'll end. You say, preacher, what do you mean pleasure? Notice in verse number 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Notice what Paul said, most gladly.
Yes.
Most gladly, therefore. If that is true, then I will find my joy and my gladness and my victory in what Christ just told me.
circumstances, you said, okay, Lord, most gladly, therefore.
That's good, preacher.
Lord, if that's the way it's going to be, I'll be happy. Lord, if that's the way you're going to leave it, I trust you. And if I'm going to find your strength in my weakness, most gladly, therefore. Glory most gladly, he said in verse number 10, therefore I take pleasure. I take pleasure. Oh, where do you take your pleasure at? On the, I preach to myself. On the bass boat? Paul said, no, in infirmities. Paul, right. Where are you going to take your pleasure at? In a deer strand? Paul said, no, in my distresses.
Yeah.
Paul, where are you going to take your pleasure at? Well, I'm going to take it after this thing's done, and after this is over. No, Paul said, right in the middle of him persecutions, I will take pleasure.
Yes. Right.
Amen. I know it's hard. Amen. This may be the hardest preaching we've done all year. You know what that word pleasure means, Brother Martin? Y'all ready for this? That word pleasure in verse 10, Brother Mark, it means to think well of.
Yeah.
I will think well of in persecution, in infirmities, in these things. He said, I will think well of Christ's sake. That's what he said. I think well of him. I will think well of him. My pleasure is in Him. My most gladly, therefore, is anchored in Him. And when it's not in these things, though I'm in these things, when I'm in these things, amen, my pleasure is in Him. My pleasure is in the Lord that is above these things. Amen, my pleasure is in the Lord who said, I'll give you my strength in your weakness.
Yes.
Amen. Well, we've had all these things. Amen. God help us. I'll pick up sometime. We'll get to the power of this glory. Paul said, he said, here's why I'm going to count this most gladly, therefore, without glory in Him. Here's why I'm going to take pleasure in these things for Christ's sake. He said that the power of Christ may rest upon us. Amen. You see, when you're living for the Savior's glory, there is a power that rests upon you. Yes. Amen. There is power. So there's not only, I've got to quit. There's not only strength, but in that strength, that power brings a victory in your life while you're going through all that.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the things that you have been sharing with my heart. Thank you for the study you give us. Lord, it's benefited my life personally, but Lord, I believe this evening, Lord, it can help church, it can grow us as disciples. Lord, I pray that you would do great, great things in these days in regard to our weakness, this matter of weakness and strength in our life. Lord, we know that we're weak. Lord, not a person here tonight would be able to say they don't know, Lord, what it is to be weak. But Lord, may we know what it is. Not just to be strong, but to be strong in the Lord. Lord, to find in His strength. Lord, helps us when we're weak. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you for what you do. Thank you for the challenge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.